This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. It seems today technology is changing so fast. I mean, we've got new phones, we've got new kinds of cars, we've got advances in computer software and apps. But these changes are not as life-changing, and they are not as fast as technological changes that took place in the late 19th and early 20th century. I mean, imagine we went from water wheel power and candles and whale oil lamps to electric motors and light bulbs in almost no time at all. Electricity really changed cities, and Detroit was widely considered one of the best lighted cities in the world today. If you contrast that with what's going on now, it's quite a difference. Our guest, Amy Elliott Bragg, recently wrote an article about electricity and Detroit that was published in Model D. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start before electricity came to Detroit. The city did have a couple of attempts to light some of the streets in the city. How'd that go?
Well, it didn't go so well, although you have to admire them for trying. The first experiment in lighting the streets in Detroit happened in the mid-1830s with a plan to kind of pilot some whale oil-fueled street lamps on Jefferson Avenue. They installed about 20 of them. The city council then called to add 20 more, but they never installed them. The lamps were lighted for about 3 months, and then they fizzled. Literally and figuratively.
Kind of a failed experiment there. But then they stumbled onto, and they didn't stumble onto it, a lot of cities were going to gas lamps, and mm-hmm. that worked a little better, I guess.
It did. Actually, it worked really well, and it worked for nearly 30 years. The first gas lamps in Detroit came in the early 1850s, I believe about 1851. And that was how streets were lit, right up until the late 1870s when the electric light first started to appear.
But there were some drawbacks to these gas lamps.
Sure. The gas lamps required lamp lighters, as many people maybe romantically remember. And those people were city employees, or they were employed by the gas company, so it was labor intensive to light the lights. Although when the gas lamps went away, a lot of people complained that they would lose their jobs lighting the lamps in the evenings. And gas lamps were not very bright. They cast kind of a dim glow on the streets, so it required a lot of gas lamps to effectively light the streets. And it was kind of a shadowy era. If anyone has ever been to New Orleans and seen the sort of flickering gas lamps, you can get a sense mm-hmm. for how they were both beautiful and perhaps impractical.
Now, you wrote that Detroit's introduction to electric lights first came with the circus. How did that happen?
Well, electric lights in the early days, especially before the incandescent light, were kind of novelty items. So a traveling circus came to Detroit in 1879, and its main attraction were its electric chandeliers, which were an early kind of electric light called an arc light. Mm-hmm. So they were
They noisy. Still use them for searchlights.
They do, yes. They're extremely bright and kind of noisy. But it was an attraction. That people wanted to come see, and a novelty item.
Well, speaking of arc lights, the Brush Electric Light Company took a new approach to lighting Detroit. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is my favorite story about early electric lighting in Detroit because it seems so fantastical. But the Brush Electric Light Company won a contract from the city of Detroit to install lighting towers. So these were, they kind of remind me in pictures, they look kind of like phone towers that we see today.
So we're talking really tall.
Extremely tall, maybe 100, 120 feet high. Some accounts say they were as many as 200 or 300 feet high, although I have kind of a hard time believing that. But the towers were 120 feet tall, maybe topped with a ring of arc lights that would cast a glow across an entire block or an entire public intersection. And they installed about 120 of them, I believe, when they were first under contract with the city. They were known as moonlight towers because the light that they cast was so bright that it looked like the moon rising over your entire neighborhood. People complained that they were noisy or that they cast a glare. They were too bright. Some people said they couldn't sleep with the lights sort of shining in their window all night. And in other neighborhoods, especially kind of in the then suburban areas of Detroit, the tree cover was so dense that the lights just shone on top of the trees and illuminated the leaves.
Sure. All you got was shadow. You didn't really get much light. So how did Detroit evolve from these lighted towers to streetlights?
At the time of the lighting towers, there were a number of electrical interests in Detroit, a number of different companies providing power for the streetlights. The city actually created its own municipal power plant at the time to sort of have better control and serve the public more effectively. That was in the mid-1880s. The Edison Illuminating Company in Detroit was the only electric company providing power to incandescent lamps in Detroit, which people preferred and which were kind of a status symbol in some ways, to have an incandescent light in your home. And the proliferation of electricity and electric companies created a lot of competition. It drove up a lot of demand. And it eventually led to, and this happened across the country, the consolidation of lots of small electric companies. So in Detroit, those kind of competing smaller companies were bundled up into the Edison Illuminating Company in Detroit, which became Detroit Edison. So
right.
Detroit Edison was able to drive demand for and kind of wide-scale adoption of incandescent lamps in Detroit.
I found your article really interesting considering what's going on in Detroit right now. I mean, we had something like 88,000 mercury vapor lights, or these sodium lights, high-pressure sodium lights, up to 40% of them out. And now Detroit is doing another lighting revolution, and it's going to be leading one of the leading cities for the transition to LED streetlights.
Absolutely. It's a really exciting time to be understanding what's going on, which was part of what inspired the story. When you think about what is the future going to look like in Detroit for both electric lighting and public utility, but also as we start to have conversations about the future of renewable energy, what we will do about reducing our carbon footprint, all of these issues are interrelated and, to me, intimately connected to the history that we have as a forward-thinking and very innovative culture in Detroit. So certainly the LED streetlight program is something to watch.
Amy Elliott Bragg is the author of the article, How the Rise of Electricity Transformed Urban Life in Detroit. It was published in Model D. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.